Well, good day, good morning, wherever it is for you. Welcome to Module 4, Healing Yourself and Others. By now, we've had a lot of practice learning how to be silent, setting up ways that we can actually listen to the divine. These are some important steps in order to be healing, because it's very, very important at the beginning to get out of your own way and allow your perfect self to run the show. So doing these things that we've learned, centering, meditating, reframing, creating beautiful sacred spaces. The sacred space begins within us. So we create a sacred space inside by clearing our own thoughts and doing what I call vectoring your thoughts, that is bringing them to one point so that they become powerful and effective. There are many ways to do this. A lot of people like to create an environment where they have a healing place or a healing room. And this, in the early stages for me, was quite important, because by directing my mind to all of these things that I needed to do, for example, to set up the room, I light a candle, I might have certain colors, I have a certain color room that I'm working in, I have the table that I allow people to lay on in a certain place, and this created an energy, because all of the placements of the furniture, of the candle, of all of the bookshelves and the healing modalities and the things that I've learned to do are all brought into one place, and this became like a spirit or an energy of its own. Now, if this is necessary for you, this is perfectly okay to do. After a while, I realized that the healing power resides in all of us all of the time, and that these things are simply methods to help us to get centered, to help us to get grounded, and to help us to know that we're connected. Now, if that's what's needed for you, that's a wonderful thing to do. But the important thing is to create this space of honoring yourself and honoring others. You're going to set yourself up as what some people call a channel for healing. For example, you're not going to be using your own thoughts or your own energy. In the instance of healing yourself, using your own energy is kind of like the blind leading the blind. You'll have a blind spot, and that is why perhaps you have some type of illness or something going on in your body or emotional state. And that which created it is the same thing as that which will block it. So you set this time up, this place, and surrender yourself to the divine. That makes sense. This way you have the collective consciousness working with you. For example, when I'm doing a healing with the person, sometimes I'll be holding their feet and I will kneel down to the floor. And this is to honor so that the energy flows up from me into the person, actually not from me, but through me from the divine. And in this way, I'm honoring the body in front of me. I don't really need to say anything. As a matter of fact, in the early healings, I said very little. I simply allowed the energy to work. And I'll explain to you in a minute just how I did that. But it's about getting this preparation set up, getting all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, all of your emotions, all of our earthly types of knowing out of the way in favor of all of those coming together at once, creating a silence that allows you to hear or to know or to see what it is that needs to be done. Now, as I've mentioned before, some of us are audio, some of us are kinesthetic, some of us just simply know. Some of us really are visual and you'll see things. All of these are simply different aspects of knowing. And your higher self will bring to you the one that is most suited. Now, sometimes when I've done healings, absolutely nothing at all, it seems, happens. And then I've also come to realize at this time that those are the times when the highest and best healing possible actually happened. There was no resistance. And another thing, maybe it wasn't for me to know what was going on at all. that I might have had conversation about it or misled the person by an interpretation. And incidentally, that's something that is really something to avoid, is you really don't want to, I don't interpret visions. I just describe them. And sometimes when I say, oh boy, that was really neat, I'm going to describe that to the person, and I hear this big voice say no. Now, what happens when something like this occurs is that sometimes people that are on the table are really maybe mental, and they're really into their head, you know. And so if you give them too many words, they'll start cogitating over those words. And the brain can only do with those words what it has learned or what it has experienced in the past. And it is those experiences that actually brought them to this state of being in the first place, such that they need a healing. So I hear this voice say, no, don't give them that information now. Because if you do, they'll simply put it into the same compartments and create the same thing that they've always had. When you think about this, it actually makes sense. So it's very important, as I'm backing up just a little bit here, to set the context, to set the context for healing. You are the content. You are the idea held before the mind as your reason for being there. You are what is going to create this. It reminds me of when I went to build houses. You see, I see an empty lot, and I have this idea. The idea held before my mind is my reason for being there to build a house. Now, if I never had that idea, if I had never imagined it inside me, it would have never occurred on that lot in the way that I wanted to build it. So it's very important to keep yourself focused and tuned in to the divine. This is what's going to lead the show. So to do this, let's begin by setting the context already for this conversation. And we'll begin by centering. So get yourself in a nice, comfortable position. And we're going to do a centering short version. Take a nice deep breath. Breathe in. And breathe out. Take nice, deep, full breaths in. Feel the air coming into your body. Direct all of your attention with all of your might into your lungs. Just feel that energy going in and out. And I'm going to add now to take all of your thoughts and just simply direct them to the center of your head. Just let them go right into the center like they're falling into a big pot. And that pot, when it falls in there, actually disappears. So it goes in there. Just use your imagination any way you'd like to do it. And now sitting up in a good position that increases the energy flow. I tell myself, I now prepare to center myself. I close my eyes for peace and quiet. I straighten my spine to increase the energy flow. I just relax. Let go. For soon I know I will be at the center of centers, the holiest of holy places, the place where all things are known to me. And to begin this journey, I visualize the color red. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I relax my body from head to toe. Relax. 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 Red is the color of the outer physical body. Whenever I wish to relax my body completely, I simply visualize this most beautiful and natural red color. Moving ever inward now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. I just let go all my emotions, all of my emotional attachments to all people, places, and things in my past. I just let go. For I truly desire to be in the present moment now. Orange is the color of emotions. Whenever I wish to release my emotions, I simply visualize this most brilliant and beautiful orange color. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow, like the sun itself, fills my entire vision. Yellow is the color of my mind. I still and quiet my mind. I just let go. And this makes way for the higher spiritual realm as I visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside me even now. A warmth of peace fills my cells. And I visualize myself communicating in a very peaceful and loving way, sending a ripple of peace throughout all mankind. Next, I visualize the color blue. Blue is the color of love. Love is the outward centrifugal force of the universe. Love is the energy that creates all things to happen. Next, I visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I just know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my being. I even know that I know. Now, moving into the center of my being, I next visualize the color violet. I am centered. I am at the holiest of holy places, the place where all things are known to me. And I need only be silent and allow Spirit to lead me wherever Spirit wants to lead. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace. Soon I know I must return to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that I will need. And now to blend into my conscious state, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with color purple or violet, moving up to purple, up and out to blue, upwards and outwards to green, yellow, orange, and red. I allow my eyes to open. I am enthused, I am enlightened, I am enriched with the knowledge from within. I just am. I sense and feel myself in this moment now. And I realize, setting myself up for a healing, that I may also ask for more help. I always ask for myself to really further align my mind into this healing state, to send gratitude and to ask for help. It's always important to send gratitude. For example, we simply thank all the gods, the goddesses, the masters, the beings of light that lend themselves to this particular healing for this child of God, or indeed even myself. So one such prayer sounds like this. I send love and gratitude to Archangel Raphael from the east, Archangel Gabriel from the south, Archangel Michael from the west, and Archangel Uriel from the north, and Grandmaster Melchizedek and his guardians overhead. I thank them for protecting me and my family, and I am grateful for their support. I invite all saints, sages, and spirits in the universe and beyond that are aligned with Grand Master Melchizedek and the love and the life and the light of Jesus Christ. Now, this is kind of a large formal asking, and if you like, just go ahead and copy that down and use it. Now, I begin a lot of my sessions with even a simpler one. I simply say, I invite all masters, ascended and living, all saints, angels, and light beings aligned with the light of the Christ consciousness, and who are aligned with the highest and best good, for this healing now. For this particular child of the universe on the table before me, or indeed, for my own self. And I ask you to guide this healing now. And I command in this moment that all that are not aligned with the highest and best good for the healing of this child of the universe to leave immediately now. Now notice when I'm asking for help, it is an asking, it isn't a command. But yet when I want these beings to leave that are of no value to this healing, I immediately want them to leave now, and that's a command. So I'm really setting up and clearing the energy for this healing to happen. One thing you might want to be prepared for is you really don't know what's going to happen if you're really letting this go to God. And I'll tell you some examples of how this kind of manifests. I remember one time I was working with this woman in California, and the energy was so strong and so powerful, I could actually feel it with my hands above her body. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing. I'm going to peek and see. I'm sure I could see this ball of light that's right before me. And when I opened my eyes, I found myself across the room waving my arms. It was really embarrassing. I was facing right into the corner. But she had her eyes closed, so she really didn't know what I was doing. But I was worried that I got off track, that something had happened. It wasn't until years later that I was talking with a spiritual teacher of mine, the late Reverend Joan Lee, and I asked her what possibly could have happened. She said, oh, it's very simple. She said, you were directed to take the energy block away so that the healing could occur. Ah, this was a lesson in detachment. I was having it in my mind that she should have some specific response. That is not for me to decide. It is up to the Almighty to decide, the powers that be, the masters, our divine presences. They know what it is that needs to be done. The collective consciousness, which kind of makes me think of another thing. When I talked about a little earlier, holding the feet of the person, I realized that I felt very powerful inside. I felt very blissful. And in my mind, trying to make sense of this, I thought, it is the well parts of me communicating to the ill parts of this being in such a way that the vibration is received and can then do its work. I thought, this is pretty cool. Well, that was just my mind inventing things. I don't know if it's really true or not, but it worked. I'll tell you how powerful this is. I'd gone to visit a good friend of mine who I hadn't seen in about 15 years. Turned out he was married and had a couple of children, and it was really a beautiful thing that we were able to get together. When I got to his home, I soon realized that his wife was not very present at the moment. I thought, wow, we're going to have dinner. She's not even around. So I kind of playfully asked where she was, and she kind of rolled out in a wheelchair. She had been in a wheelchair for many years. Well, to make a long story short, I sat down next to her at the table, and I had a vision very quickly, and I explained to her the vision. And she did, her whole body shuddered a little bit, and she said, wow. She said, I know what that vision is. Let's talk about it tomorrow. So I visited them again the next day. It turned out that she had done something that was against her moral or ethical values, taught values, not the values of God, I might add, and she had punished herself. So, wow, that's very interesting. How did you do that? And we talked and talked, and come to find out, it was one of her family members that had multiple sclerosis, and she was her caretaker. You see, our bodies are so magnificently intelligent. that she actually was able to get the vibrations of that illness and recreate it in herself. Now you might say, oh boy, that's really something, because people come to me with some illness. I say, well, when did you decide to get that? And they get really angry. But you see, there's great power in that. When you decide and you know that you have created something, then isn't it logical that you know the steps that took to get you there, whether you were consciousness of it or not? You actually did it. You might not have been conscious of every step, but it was you that created it. Now, the power in that is then you know the way back. So operating on that premise, I thought, wow, why don't we just think about that for a moment and embrace that as the truth. Now, by thinking about that and embracing it as the truth, she found her way back. It was about 8 or 9 months later, she actually came out with us and danced and had fun. Now, this is how powerful we are. We are this magnificent being that can create anything, any place, any time. And once we understand that and guide that with some truth, rather than what maybe we have learned in our past, and just assess what is going on in the moment. That's why it's so important to present yourself now. We must realize that these truths show up within us, and that all we have to do is to grasp them. When we grasp these truths and we operate in the truth, that truth literally sets us free. It's funny to say that. I mean, we've probably heard that. It was a statement that I used to run from. But here's some truths that I've been operating under that seem to work pretty well. For example, the first stage of healing is awareness. You must be aware that you created what it is that you have. And you must be aware that something is going on before you can do something about it. Often your friends will let you know quite quickly what's going on. Or your body begins to give you signs that you're not thinking in absolute truth. The truth for you, not some the truth in the middle of a theoric somewhere, but just what's going on in your life right now. Now here's another one that's very, very important. The natural state of being is healthy. Anything beyond that we create. As I mentioned earlier, people get kind of upset with that. They say, oh, you mean I did this, it's my fault? Well, it's not about blame. It's simply about what's viewing the truth, seeing what's happening, and then changing what it is that needs to be changed. The truth might be that you have a belief system that's not working for you, and you simply have to change that. The belief system might be, for example, to make this easy, you have to drink a lot of alcohol to feel happy. Well, that's something that you possibly made up. It might seem like it's true, but you might also be decimating your physical, mental, and emotional bodies while doing it. So you might find another truth. Most people will say once they've meditated deeply, there is no drug that can even match the kind of bliss and the euphoric peacefulness that you can experience simply by meditating or centering. Now, here's a really, really important one, too. Everything is energy, and all energy can be transmuted or changed. And what's the vehicle of that change? The vehicle is your mind. That's the vehicle. The vehicle is that innate quality inside you that is run by your I Am presence, your perfect self. This is why it's so important to visit your perfect self again and again and again. To develop that conversation with an energy that is completely and 100% aligned with your well-being. Here's one that I really like. Miracles are not performed by God for man, but by man for God. Now that one's kind of has a lot to it, and I'm not going to get into a lot of it right now, but very quickly, I spoke about earlier, if we all are this collective energy, and this collective energy is all that is, and all that is we might be calling God, then yes, we are God healing God, or ourselves healing ourselves. Now, these ideas might seem foreign at first, but consider what you might be arguing about in your mind. What would you be arguing for or against? Would you be arguing for your illness? Say, oh, this isn't possible. This can't be. I don't believe it. Well, then maybe take a look at what you do believe. For example, I'm helpless and hopeless. I don't believe that I caused this. It just happened to me. It wasn't me that threw me in front of the bus. It was somebody else. You see, once you learn to take responsibility for everything that you do, for every event that occurs in your life, you will begin to heal yourself. Because then you will be aware of what it is that you're doing, and then you will be cognizant of what it is that you want, and you will begin to create that. For example, remember when I talked about in-centering, said one of the benefits is that you'll be so aware that you'll have fewer, if not any, accidents at all. You'll be healthier because you'll be aware of what it is that you're doing that either creates health or creates illness in your life. The first stage of healing is awareness. You see how this starts to work. And this one I love. The brain has no answers, and the heart has no questions. If you try to think yourself out of this illness, if you try to think about what it is that caused it, if you try to figure it out, you're in for a long and possibly bumpy ride. But if you allow your thinking to go aside, if you allow your emotions, your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies to come together as one, then you interrupt the pattern of just, for example, your thinking mind. Or perhaps it was the pattern of just your emotional mind. You see, you may be blocking out the other four natures of your body. The other three, if you're using one, there's fourfold natures of body, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. So it's important to be operating from all of those places. Now, there was a channeled sentence that a fellow channeled from Jesus. And you probably heard this in a little bit different form, but I really like the way this one came out. It says, blessed are they who heal in these days of great pain and suffering. Blessed are those that lay their hands upon the fervor brow of their brothers, knowing that their request will be answered, knowing that great power will flow through them, like water through a river course. That is so beautiful. So let that thought form enter into your body, enter each and every cell of your body. For example, it is the vibration, the ideas, the thought forms inside you that come through your vocal cords and come out as some idea. So why not start with a great idea? Let each one of these thought forms that I've just talked about enter into each and every cell of your body. And your day might start something like this. You get to wake up and say, thank you, universe, for adjusting me to the proper frequency, balancing my polarity, magnetism, and tones of my body, my mind, and my spirit. Thank you for balancing my association with time and space. And with deep appreciation and love, thank you for balancing my energy. I am thankful to have all the non-beneficial beliefs removed from me right now. I'm deeply thankful to move and to have invited into all my being the spirits of prosperity, life, love, freedom, healing, and fun. And all I need to do is to remain in the moment and focus only upon what I want in the now. Now, what if you started each and every day like that? What if you decided to align yourself with the universe, align yourself with the archangels, align yourself with the whole universe? It only takes tapping in to find out what it is that you need to do to heal. For example, I was in Thailand and my kidneys hurt really badly. And the fellow had me, a Qigong master, said, Greg, he said, the kidneys, what do they do? What are they about? So the kidneys, it turns out, are about kindness. And I wasn't being very kind to myself. So he told me to clap my hands and rub them violently, you know, and all the while, not violently, rub them lovingly, and all of the while thinking about something beautiful and loving and bring a big smile to my face, you know. And then he had them put those on the, had me put my hands on the back of my kidneys, and they stopped hurting immediately. A healing can happen this quickly. And when you think of people who have breast cancer, what are the breasts about? It's about nourishment. Are they nourishing and loving themselves every day? So when we talk about specific organs, think about what the organ does. I even saw on the internet the other day about how they were showing fruit and vegetables and how they so were looking like the organ that they were best suited for. It's a really neat thing that's going on in the world today. Now, another thing you might consider about healing is that when you see somebody who's having a difficult time in their life, maybe it's mental or emotional or spiritual, and maybe it hasn't gotten to the physical plane yet, but what you do is you go home and you heal that in yourself, and you bless them profusely for showing you that you needed this healing to occur for yourself. Yes, you heal yourself in this way. And then the next time you're in that person's presence, you are bringing a different vibration rather than condemning them for their behavior. You're blessing them for showing them how it is that you're operating. I was recently working with a couple here, and I noticed that they would buy equipment to help them in their lives because their physical bodies were severely challenged. And they bought these things, and then they didn't use them. They still suffered. I thought, wow, that's kind of odd, you know. And then I looked at my life and I thought, wow, how many times did I have some beautiful windfall come to me and to, only to turn my back upon it? Even one time I hired a great marketing company and then just didn't do anything about it. So I put the tools in place and then ran the other direction. So instead of condemning or judging those people, I thought, wow, look at the blessing they just gave me. I got to see how I set myself up to win and then turn my back on it and wait for something else to happen. That was a great healing for me. How is it that you can see life? What if you spent your time looking for the greatness in each and every other person? You'd not only be healing yourself, because it is a known fact you cannot see in others what is not already in yourself. So by looking at the greatness in others, you are actually serving the greatness in yourself. How great is that? That is a magnificent healing. That creates Isn't it fun to have just a little bit of silence to let things land? Healings come in many different forms. A simple compliment could change a person's whole life. A smile walking by a stranger. When your eyes connect and you go by and say nothing, you could turn that into a healing. Or even maybe, let me just adjust that and reframe. Oh, maybe it was that you looked into each other's eyes and you exchanged some incredible information. I'll tell you how powerful things can be. Some years ago, I worked on a young man. He had degenerative bone disease. And by simply speaking to him and allowing him to take control of his life, to let him understand that he was responsible for everything that happened in his life. He was 6 years old at the time. There were some other circumstances that I'm not at liberty to talk about, but because it was a healing, and that's confidential. But I can share what actually happened. The young man took responsibility for himself. Now, his bones were like something like 48 or 58% already gone, like where there's supposed to be a socket and a bone there, there was just fragments of bone. And he was scheduled to have an operation that would have to give him Duke hips at that tender age of 6. And then he would have to have at least three or four more operations as he grew into his new body there. He would have to have a larger set of hips put in. Well, we talked for about an hour, and he got the idea that he was responsible for everything that happened in his life. Oh, he was so sweet. He had actually accepted death, but he didn't accept that he couldn't play with his friends or play sports. It's just a child's mind, you see. About 10 years later, I was visiting his aunt and uncle, and I said, boy, they said, would you like to see this young man? I said, oh, gosh, would I ever? And they both started laughing. I said, what's so funny? And they said, well, he said, there he is. He's that big guy out there mowing the lawn. He was bigger than I was. He was head of the baseball team, head of the track team. You know, he was head of the football team. He played every sport imaginable. I said, boy, you have to tell me what happened. And what had happened was he announced to his family that he was taking charge of his life. And he stated under no uncertain terms what that looked like to him. And it was only 2 weeks after that initial healing that I got an email saying that he had gone to the doctors to get his hips measured. And they had declared that he was 88% healed. When I saw him this 10 years later, it was 2 days after he was declared 100% healed, but they actually said 99%. Everybody has to cover their butt a little bit, I guess. So what we have is an incredible power. And if you allow this power to run from each and every cell of your body, if you allow this to not just use your brain, but if you use mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, your entire being. We are all spirit. We're all spirit as God. We're the collective of all spirit. So long as the person's intent is to help and work with the spirit of the collective consciousness, God's intention, that which is referred to sometimes as the healing light, then that person is a healer. And we all heal in our own particular way. It just depends on our own particular genius. You see why it is so important to find your genius talent, to find your genius power, to allow yourself to heal. You might notice a theme through this whole conversation. And that is connecting who we are physically to connecting who we are spiritually. It's taking all of the energy centers of our body, and there's way more than 7 chakras. Those are for some higher teachings later, but we have to understand and get the basics down first to be able to use these in such a way that allows the doors to open quite naturally to the higher knowledge. This happens when you are in your genius talent. For a great painter, what happens? He goes into his higher knowledge. He just paints. He doesn't sit there and fuss and fume over it for hours and hours. He just sits down and does it. He's in his genius. Same with a baker. Same with an accountant. Same with a carpenter. I was very blessed when I grew up because I knew that I loved carpentry. So every day I went out there, and by loving what I was doing, I was nurturing myself every day. See, the people who are performing their genius are doing and acting in the highest good for themselves and for everyone around them. When you are in your genius talent, you are healing yourself every day. When you are aligned with what it is, your purpose for being there, you're nourishing and healing yourself every day. You know, I lead firewalks, and when we lead firewalks, it's important to presence yourself in the moment. You can't be thinking about other things, and you can't walk for any false reason. False reasons sound like being cool, looking good, being right, being in control, thinking, oh, I can do this. If they can do it, I can do it. No, those aren't reasons to make decisions in your life. As a matter of fact, listen to that. That's making decisions is a function of just the mental. You want to make a choice. A choice involves mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. When we went on one specific fire walk, my daughter was there, and with a few of her friends. And one of the other elderly women in the came to the fire walk, announced that she was never going to walk. She was just there for the seminar. My daughter actually said the same thing. Not coincidentally, when they went out to the fire, they both all of a sudden held hands and walked across the fire together. Their skepticism and fear turned into a great power. It turned into understanding the collective consciousness of all that is. It was their fear that actually, if you go out to a fire, let me tell you something, if you're not afraid, there's something wrong. Okay? It's a really hot fire. We've measured it up to 1400 degrees. So to understand and know what is really there is important to deal with the truth. And then there's a higher truth to deal with, and that is that we are one with the fire. The fire is just simply another energy, and we're just simply another energy. And if you look into science, there's nothing in our bodies. It just becomes space. Because beyond just the water, and you've seen what a moto can do with water. So at any rate, we're at the fire walk, and she walks, and then one of her girlfriends says, let's be cool and walk across the fire together. Well, that's not a good reason to walk. It wasn't it, her, and we discovered later, talking with her, that what goes on in her life, you see, she does things to please other people. She does things thinking that she's doing this so other people will notice. And she doesn't do what she loves to do in life. She does what she thinks will please her parents or please her boyfriend or please her friends. And as a result, she winds up just tolerating life. Now I want you to hear something that's really powerful. Invoking spiritual energy isn't a natural process. I said it backwards. Invoking spiritual energy is a natural process, not a supernatural one. Much of our lives are spent in the opposite thinking. We've been taught that it is our brain that guides us, when it in fact is our collective energy that guides us. Our I am presence, our perfect self. And our perfect self even lets us think that we think. We are operating from this grand matrix of life. We call this the light. And this light operates from the seat of our soul, our heart. Yes, it is our heart. And I'm learning most recently that our heart isn't just that singular place beating. It is in our entire chest area. Now, you might be aware that some people work with different kinds of spirit, different kinds of guides. They talk about their guides. I've never wanted really to do this. I just know what I'm to do. I feel like I'm led. I felt like the guide was like a collective spirit given to me in a way that I can possibly understand. Because if I was to hear, let me say it this way, that a true angel's name cannot be pronounced. Because it's a thought, it's a feeling, it's a sound, it's an essence. And all of that can't be done with our physical bodies. So these angels or these guides, as they were, come to us as a collective. They form themselves into a way that we can recognize and speak to and communicate with. So I really don't see it as one guide for me, although I may be changing my mind shortly. But right now, this has worked. And it's a funny thing to say, I don't know. But people used to ask me how my healing worked a long time ago. I said, well, I don't know how it works, and nor do I care. It just does. I'm kind of results-oriented here as I see what happened, and it worked. So I'd repeat it and do it again and again. What I really didn't realize that I was doing was quieting my mind, silencing my mind, and just saying, just put that all aside and do what you're led to do. So what you're going to hear in the meditation for today, it's called a guided visualization. And it's about aligning your chakras with the chakras of the universe and understanding that all of the energy centers work together, not one at a time. And when you do this, you will become a great healer of yourself and of others. Your genius will naturally evolve. You'll notice that when there's genius happening, people flock to it. And it, by understanding and knowing that you're connected, you don't have to stop and figure things out. You just need to be silent and listen. Allow the action to move through you. Let it flow through every cell of your body. Every cell of your body has all of the knowledge of the universe. And if you allow it to work, it will work. Yes, you can. You will. And you are healing yourself even now. Every moment of the day. Direct all of your thoughts, all of your attention to going with the flow of your own personal direction. Follow your genius. Allow it to guide you. And enjoy your life. So enjoy this beautiful meditation. Enjoy this different way of healing. Know that it is just one of many. And once again, practice, repeat. 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 Saturate yourself with the foundation of all the thoughts that heal. Center yourself. Chant. Do meditations. Do things that please you and please others. Choose healthy ways of living. Make them work for you. So much love for you all. Bless your heart.